Well, we introduced ourselves to Galatians, and last time and the time before, I hope that we answered some questions. We found out that it was Paul doing the writing, this apostle sent by God with good news. But it wasn't a man's gospel. This gospel is what God had shown Paul to deliver to those people in Galatia. And we saw that it wasn't just like one little community in one city. It was several cities that Paul was writing to these churches, to those meeting in homes, to those meeting in synagogues, to this group of believers who had been called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. These Jewish and non-Jewish Gentile believers. And we've got problems when we look at some of the verses in chapter 1. And they're not easy to understand. And we struggle over them. And people for years and centuries have struggled over what Paul meant or what Paul means in these verses. And I'm not going to pretend that I've got some clever, quick remedy to those problems. But I'm going to share this morning to the conclusions that I came to. I found some old papers that I did when I was about 17, 18, when I was being trained, and I found out that I haven't changed my view on this. I actually found out when I was answering some of these difficult questions that my view of a 19-year-old believer hasn't changed, hasn't shifted. And so therefore, all these years, I might have a bit more experience and hopefully a bit more wisdom and hopefully a bit more knowledge. And I do pray a lot more compassion, because as a 19 or 20 year old, I probably lacked some, because everything was black and white. If you watch one of the soaps, how can you call yourself a Christian? I can remember saying that in a sermon once, and I'm thinking, now, did I really say that? But that's how a 19, 20 year old, everything is either, you're either for the glory of God or it isn't. And that's how I divided everything. But this morning we come and we come to these difficult questions, difficult verses. And so the first one we're going to look at is Galatians 1:4. And I want us to spend a little time on this morning, because this is to, because these verses we look at chapter 1, I think will help us understand the whole book, so that we don't end up with something that could even be not what God intended through Paul. Some people look at these verses and they end up with some strange ideas and teaching. So Galatians 1:4 says, "Who gave himself for our sin to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God, our Father." Well, the first part, I'm not going to spend too much on, because I think the first part is established, it's agreed, and there's not much difficult. He gave himself for our sins. He didn't die for his sins, because he didn't have any. He gave himself for your sin and for my sin. He paid the debt that we could never pay. He took our place on the cross. And did you know there are some churches now who no longer believe he paid the debt for us? They believe his death was just victory over death. He didn't become a sin offering. But Paul clearly says that he died for our sins. It says, in even Peter says, he bore our sins in his body on his tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And Paul to the church at Corinth, "For I deliver to you as first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins." That's where it starts. That's the beginning. Christ dying for our sins. And that's where we start on our journey. God revealing Christ to us, the sinless, perfect Lamb of God who died for our sins. You cannot progress in the Christian life. You cannot walk in the Spirit unless we start off with who Jesus is, dying for our sin on the cross. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." This is where it starts. But there's more. Paul says he gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. Some version says to rescue us from this present evil age. And I was thinking about this, delivering us, rescuing us. We're all sinners. He died for our sins, but he doesn't leave us there. He says, I can rescue you out of the kingdom of the devil and you can be transported into the kingdom of the Son. Rescued, delivered. You see, there are two kingdoms. And everybody is born into the kingdom of Satan. You don't get a choice. There's nobody who's, well, apart from Christ, everybody was born into his kingdom. And they serve him to one degree or another because we've all sinned. And we're controlled and we're slaves to sin. And there's a penalty and there's a consequence. And Jesus paid for it. Why? So that we might be rescued. So that we might be delivered. So that we can live in victory. So that we're no longer a slave to sin. So that we're no longer living according to the flesh. But now, as rescued, delivered people, we can live according to the Spirit. And there's more good news. He gives you the power and the ability to do it. Isn't that good news? You're rescued. You're delivered. And behind all this is the idea you've been set free. Set free. Not free to do as you please. Not free to do whatever you want to do, but free to please him. Free to serve him. When you're in the kingdom of Satan, you can't please him. You're not free to please him. But now you've been delivered. Now you've been rescued because he became sin for you. You can now live the life God wants. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good news? Now, you'd think the people in Galatia were really happy about this, wouldn't you? You'd think, wow! Well, we'll see in a minute that they wouldn't wow for too long. Well, look at that. You see, Satan's kingdom is characterized by these people who just want to live to please themselves. And Paul wanted all those in Galatia who were reading this letter to be shocked, to be alarmed, to think, what have we done? That's what Paul was writing these letter for, writing to these believers. He said, you've been rescued. You've been delivered. And now you want to go back to where I need to rescue you again. That's the kind of language he's using. What did Peter say? He says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Why? You've been rescued. You've been delivered because he became sin for you. You're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. You're now in the kingdom of his light. And Paul was saying this right at the beginning to think, what's happened? Oh, I shouldn't have done that. What's happened? What's happened to you? What? Why? You've been delivered. You've been rescued. He says to the church at Ephesus, you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once were, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, is what? He's made us alive in Christ. He's rescued us. He's delivered us. He's made us alive. We no longer live or walk to the desires of the Prince of the Air. We now walk and live to the desires of the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Because we've been rescued. We've been delivered. Because Jesus paid the price for our sin. We looked at Colossians, and this verse sort of sums it up. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his Son. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great news? Because you can't do it. You can't rescue yourself. You can't deliver yourself. It's only because of Jesus dying upon the cross for your sin and mine that he can call us out of darkness and into light. That he can transfer us from the dominion of darkness to the dominion of his Son. That's good news, isn't it? And this is the gospel that Paul had taught them. This is the gospel that Paul had taught them. Teach them? This is the gospel that he had proclaimed and declared to them. That there's nothing they can do. Nothing whatsoever to earn salvation. Because Jesus Christ died for their sins. And by doing so, when they repent and believe, they are rescued and delivered. You know, I don't always get this, but I was thinking about this week and thinking, how can I explain what Paul is trying to get over to them? How can I sort of explain it? And I was sitting at a bus stop waiting for a bus. And it sort of came to me that God's plan for saving us includes this wonderful rescue, this wonderful deliverance. And I think, I mean, can I say that all illustrations have their, they're not perfect. So please, you could pull it to pieces. But it's how I sort of understood what Paul was trying to get across. That the people of Galatia, before Christ, were in a fire. They were in a terrible place. They were sinners, in darkness, under the domain of the devil. And then through the declaration of the gospel, through Paul declaring the truth, they were delivered, they were rescued, because Christ died for their sin, from the awful situation they were in, from that fire. And then Paul is saying, well, you believe the gospel, that is by faith alone, grace alone, through Christ alone. But now you think you have to follow the law of Moses to be justified and saved. It's like you've put yourself back into the fire. It's like you've placed yourself back to where you were before you knew him. Why? Why would you do that? What logic is there? You've been set free, because that's what it means to be delivered. You've been set free. You've been delivered. And now you think, well, his death didn't accomplish what you told us it accomplished. We weren't really delivered. We've got to do something to make the deliverance secure. Well, you haven't. And they shouldn't have thought that. But they believed those others who were telling them, you've got to obey the law of Moses. You've got to get circumcised. And so there's a verse that we come to. And this is the one really that people have discussed and debated and caused confusion. So if we could have Galatians 1:6 on the screen, please. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. I want you to see the broken heart of Paul by the Holy Spirit. I want you to see how Paul was in grief because he had declared a gospel to them that delivered them, that freed them. And he says, how soon? How soon have you turned away? How soon? Other translations put it this way. How soon did you desert the one who called you? How soon did you desert him who called you? How soon did you remove yourself from him who called you? How soon did you turn away from the God who called you? How soon are you turning away from him? From him! From him! Who paid for your sin to rescue you. And now you turn away. You desert him. I want you to see, I first sometimes saw Paul was angry. I now see he was heartbroken. Because he could see a people who were turning away from what they had been taught. Turning away that it is through Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. And they thought they could add to it. You know, a very prominent Calvinist, I was shocked. Do you know how he says about this verse? I'll tell you. He prefers the word deserting, and he says the Greek word was used of military desertion, which was punishable by death. This form of the Greek verb indicates that the Galatian believers were voluntarily deserting grace to pursue the legalism taught by the false teachers. And they did this quickly. I was amazed that a Calvinist, a prominent Calvinist, would say they voluntarily turned away from grace. These believers. And friends, I want to say this morning that there is a possibility, and I'm only going to say a possibility, there is a possibility that once we have believed in the one who paid the price for us, paid for our sin and has delivered us and rescued us, that we don't do what the Galatians did. Don't think, well, we know better. Because I think I said last week, I look back and we don't come out smelling of roses. I can remember my young life in the Wesleyan Church and the Brethren Church. And in a sense, they were adding to the gospel because they were said to be saved, you mustn't do that, or to be saved, you must do that. And if you did or didn't, you weren't saved. We are playing with the gospel, and the gospel is not to be played with. And the gospel is so simple. And people don't like simplicity. He who believes on the name of Christ will what? Be saved. And then you get, well, to believe means you've got to do... Well, he didn't say that, did he? You believe in Jesus for the salvation, then you're saved. Oh, but the demons believe, so it can't mean that. Well, the demons aren't believing in Christ for forgiveness of sins or the blood to cleanse them. So let's keep it as simple as the word says. You call on the name of the Lord, you'll be what? We just like to complicate it. And Paul is heartbroken because he says that you are turning away from him who called you into grace, into the free gift of Christ. Let's feel the heart of Paul even. Let's have Galatians 5:4. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. I want you to sense Paul's broken heart by the Spirit. This is what happens when people think they can be saved or justified by any other means except through Christ dying on the cross. Now, I mentioned that prominent Calvinist. Do you know what he says about this verse? I won't read it because it's quite a long thing. I'll just put it into... He says, either it now means that they can get circumcised, obey the law of Moses, and still be justified. Really? The book of Galatians has just tried to deny all that. Or it means they were never saved in the first place. And I think, then I thought... Well, that's a bit messy, isn't it? And then the same author does have what's called a handbook, and in that he just makes it so clear, he says they were never believers. And then you think, well, Paul wouldn't write this letter if it was just all to unbelievers. Now, don't get me wrong, he wrote to the churches in Galatia. And these people in Galatia were a mixture of Jews and Gentiles. And there might have been some unbelievers amongst them. Yeah. But the gist of Paul's letters is to the believer. And why do they get themselves into such a mess? Why? Why do they do it? Why would Paul say, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was portrayed as crucified. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law?" Oh, they've received the Spirit. In Galatians 3:26, "In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God." Galatians 4:6-7, "God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Friends, they're in a mess because you've got this person in chapter 1 saying they are believers. Chapter 5, he's saying they're not. Why is a mess? And this is why I haven't changed my mind on this since I was a very young person. And it's because we don't like to hold two conflicting truths like this. But we do it on something else. Jesus Christ is 100% divine. He's also 100% human, man. They contradict each other. So we have to hold that truth there. He's 100% man. Hold that truth there. He's 100% God. And when you see a verse that contradicts it, you don't reinterpret the verse. You don't say it's got to mean whichever persuasion you want. You say, no, it's got to mean he's fully God. It's got to mean he's fully man. And there's not a problem. But when it comes to God's sovereignty and man willingly choosing to do something that the Bible says you can't do, they suddenly think they've got to reinterpret it. Instead of saying, well, yeah, he will. He will complete the good work he started in me. I can't be plucked out of his hand. But at the same time, if I try to make myself right with God by keeping the law, I can get cut off from Christ. You've got to hold the two truths like that. They're both true. I like things like that. Personally, I love to do that. When where I can, I will. But as a 19-year-old, I looked it up. And maybe I should have wrote it. It said, I believe the truth that Calvin taught about God's sovereignty. But I also believe in the freedom of man and his responsibility. And they both, and I can't do that, but I can do that. And God to give you the ability and the power to live as someone who's in the kingdom of the Son and not in the kingdom of the devil. You see, that author got himself into a mess, in a right mess. Why? Because he held on to the truth that a believer cannot fall. And because he holds, not even will he for a second think there is a possibility, he got himself in chapter 1, they're believers, and chapter 5, they're not. Because he couldn't bring himself to even think of the minute risk, the minute, that's how I am these days, the minute possibility that if you think you can make yourself right with God as a believer by keeping the law, you will run the risk of being cut off from Christ. Isn't that serious? I'd rather be wrong on this than take his position that a believer can make himself right by the law, because that's his opinion now. He actually says it is quite that if they were believers, then maybe they can make themselves with God by keeping the law. That's his other conclusion. Because he won't accept that there's a possibility. By the way, there's lots of verses that say that you can fall by turning away from Christ. And if we want to understand Galatians, if we want to understand Galatians in its fullness, then I think we have to accept, I'm not going to say accept that you will fall, I'm going to say accept the possibility that it's there. Accept the possibility that if you think you're made right with God through any actions, except what Christ did on the cross, it's like waving the red flag, you're in danger. But I believe God can come and rescue you. You know, I believe Paul was a wake-up Paul to these Galatian believers. He was saying, do you want to get cut off? Do you want, that's where you're heading. And if you continue down this road of thinking that obeying Moses will save you, well, you're going to end up being unsaved. Now, there's complications to what I've just said. But Paul is saying, you can't treat the cross like this. You can't treat Jesus taking your sin upon himself and then think that you can somehow add it or merit something else. He's rescued you and delivered you so you can live as a king. No, live as a child of the king. And Paul says, when we go through Galatians, you get his heart. He wished he'd never met them in one sense. He wished he'd never taught them. And I'll leave this because what does Paul say about those teachers? He calls them accursed. He calls them accursed. You know what that means? That means he said, I want them to be without hope. I want them to be without any chance of redemption. We use a big word. It's connected to a sort of word called, and I'm going to try and pronounce this correctly. I've written it down. Excommunicated. Is that how I said that right? He said, I want them thrown out of those who are called out. I don't want them included anymore amongst those who call themselves believers. I want them accursed. And then you get these people who cannot accept that there's a risk of losing their salvation, that they would rather say that you could follow someone that Paul calls accursed, follow their teaching, and still stay justified. That makes no sense to me. So where are we in all this morning? It's simply this. Has he called you out of darkness into his marvellous light? Has he transferred you from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of his Son? And has he done this because you know, because God has shown you, revealed you, Jesus took your sin upon himself, upon that cross? Then the question is very similar to last week's. Have you added anything to that? Have you thought to yourself, and some churches teach this, well, in order to be saved, I've got to get baptized. Some people teach that. Now, baptism you should do. Baptism is good and right. And if you haven't been baptized and you believe it, you should. But you can be saved without baptism. Do you see how we add? And there's all other kinds of things. Some churches say to be saved, you've got to become a church member. Well, you can be saved without becoming a church member. I was in this church, I think, for over a year before I became a member of this church. Well, I want to tell you, I was saved in that year as well. I wasn't unsaved because I didn't become a church member. Do you see the simplicity of the gospel that Paul taught? And when I say Paul taught, I could say God taught, because Paul says in Galatians he got all this direct from God. He was taught by God himself. And so if you reject what Paul says, you're rejecting what God says by the Holy Spirit. And it's not, and what he's saying really, in love, in compassion, feel his heart is this. If you're heading down a road where your dependence is on anything but Christ and what he did for him on the cross, he's saying in big words, stop. He's saying, stop. Realize where you're heading. Turn around. Have a change of heart. Have a change of mind. Realize, oh, that's repentance. Because I think, and the heart of God, because it says there that the Galatians called him Abba Father. He don't give up easy on his children. He don't give up easy on those who are heading away from him. So what happened to the Galatians? I mean, it says there, you have been cut off from Christ. What happened to them? Well, if anybody can help me on that, I'll need help, because I couldn't find out what actually happened to them. My heart in humanity prays and hopes that through Paul's letters and by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, they saw the error of their ways and turned round. I hope they did. Maybe some did, some didn't. But if we're going to understand Galatians, you need to understand that God has called you, placed you in his kingdom, to live as a child of his because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And the Galatians were in danger of throwing it all away. And Paul says, you've got to stop. Believe in Jesus. Believe in the one who sent him. I'm going to stop. Father, this is difficult for us to understand. It's difficult to grasp. But Father, like last week, if we are heading away from you, turn us back. If we're on a path that is taking us away from you, turn us around so that we might come towards you. Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit to convict. We pray for the Holy Spirit to enable us. We pray for the Holy Spirit to empower us to walk and to live in the Spirit and not in the flesh. For the flesh will take us away from you. The Spirit will take us towards you. Help us in this, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.